हम स्वर्ग धरा पर लाएंगे, हम स्वर्ग धरा पर लाएंगे, हम स्वर्ग धरा पर लाएंगे, हम स्वर्ग धरा पर लाएंगे,
हम स्वर्ग धरा पर लाएंगे, हम स्वर्ग धरा पर लाएंगे।
ओम शांति। It gives me great pleasure in introducing to you Brahmakumari Sister Radhika Ben, who is dedicated to the services of Brahmakumaris for the past 17 years and is a Raj Yoga teacher. She has done her masters in psychology from Usmania University in Hyderabad. She has been instrumental in creating many training modules. It includes conflict resolution, personality transformation, lifestyle management, etc. She continuously contributes in evolvement of concepts for seminars and conferences based on spiritual intelligence, stability in uncertain times, and success. Presently, she coordinates the spiritual services of Brahmakumaris Nagarjuna Management Center in Hyderabad. She has traveled extensively to the US and England, sharing her thoughts and different forums. She has addressed in companies like Larsen & Toubro, Reliance, Bharat Petroleum, Parle Products, Tata Steel, IBM, ITC Products, HSBC Bank, Taj Group of Hotels, Apollo Hospitals, Aurobindo Pharma, and various organizations all over the country. She is our Brahmakumari sister, Radhika Ben. Om Shanti.
Thank you for a lovely introduction. Usually, before I begin the session, I usually share a story. This is one of my favorite stories. Now, you might just wonder what kind of a story it would be. But the thing is, I'm going to share this story with you, and you will have to listen to it carefully and let me know by the end of the story whether you liked it or not. And you need to be very honest. If you don't like it, you've got to tell me that. And if you like it, you should tell me why you liked it. If you don't like it, you tell me why you didn't like it. Okay? This is how the story goes. There is this person called Ravi. Okay? And he wakes up every day in the morning at 7 a.m. Okay, he wakes up at 7 a.m. and then in about an hour he gets dressed. By 8 he is dressed and he has his breakfast. 8:30 he has a bus that he has to catch. Then he reaches his office by 9:30. 9:30 he reaches his office and he has work on the first floor of that building, and he's a typist. Okay, he has a lunch break from 1 to 2. Then he's done with his work by 5, and 5:15 is his bus back. By 6:15 he's home. He has dinner, he plays with his kids, he watches television and goes to bed probably by 10:30, 11. This is what has happened on Monday. Okay, and Tuesday, when did he get up? 7 o'clock, okay. And then, how much time did he take to get dressed? And then his bus is at what time? Okay, and he reached his office by what time? And then, where is his office? What is he? And so, he has lunch break? Okay, then when is he done with his work? And his bus is at what time? And he comes home by what time? And then what does he do once he comes home? And plays with his kids. And then he goes to bed by what time? 10:30, 11. This has happened on Tuesday. Shall we go on with Wednesday? No? Not interested? Should we or should we not? I mean, till Sunday. It's going to be the same thing. Right? So I consider it to be a story. one Mr. Ravi. Okay? So my question to you is, was it interesting? You can be honest. You don't have to think the sister is telling the story, so I need to agree with it, that it's nice. You can be absolutely honest and let me know whether it was interesting or not. If it is not, you got to tell me why. Something routine. Nothing interesting in his daily schedule. Nothing. It is still interesting? Okay. Yeah. Yes, please. There is no moral out of the story. There is no conclusion for the story. Yeah. And then there is no twist. Yeah. A story has to have a twist, isn't it? Yeah. Huh? There are no ups and downs. And? Yeah. It's a very common thing that everybody goes through. Exactly. Now, you wouldn't find this interesting because there is no change. Something which has no change and it gets very mechanical and mundane, you get bored. Right? So let us say, now your session is still 11:30. Now this session. Now it's about almost 10:15. And I tell you all, look, I love this group. I love this group so much that I will continue to speak till lunchtime. I'm not going to let you all go. Yeah? I'm going to make you all sit here one and you got to listen to me. You will say, sister, mentally we are prepared till 11:30. So, but the thing is, because you're mentally prepared, you can't stay beyond that time. Right? You just need a change. Probably a walk from here to the Diamond Hall. Maybe just go and have a glass of water somewhere. Something. But we need a change. We all look for these changes all the time. We do. Things get mundane for a while and then you say, no, I need a break. You go for a vacation, you go meet friends, you go for a movie, you go somewhere. But then today we are going to talk about those kind of changes which have to be very internalized. This is not something like, you know, you have a problem at work, let us say. You have a problem at home. You can have all the breaks necessary. All the changes you want. You know, you go for a vacation, you go anywhere. You have to come back to the same place where you're responsible. You have to deal with the same kind of people every day. I remember somebody calling me up and telling me, sister, I've got so much stress at work, so much stress that I need a break. Right? So I asked him, can you tell me what it is all about? What kind of stress? Do you have stress because of the work? He said, no, I'm very good at my work. I have problem with my colleague. He thinks he's very smart. I do all the hard work and at the right time he comes and stands there like he's done everything. You know? So I'm so tensed, so I can't deal with this fellow and so I'm taking a break. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to Goa with my family and I'm going to relax. I said, good, congratulations, go to Goa. So he goes to Goa and he calls me up in a couple of days. He called me up and he said, sister, can you give me some thoughts to relax myself? I said, I thought you went to Goa all the way to relax, isn't it? He said, yeah, I came here all the way to relax. I'm going to restaurants, I'm going to the beach, I'm going with my friends, I'm going with my family, and the only person I'm thinking about is my colleague. So the thing is, we carry the problem here. It's nothing out there, it's here. Right? You can change as much of the situation or the environment, temporary, yes. But we have to discuss today those changes which become permanent. Maybe it's in the form of an attitude. It's in the form of how we have impression about something has drastically changed. And when that changes, it is very grounded and deep-rooted. Something which is transitional and temporary keeps pricking us after some time again. It comes back again. Like we are thinking we have forgotten the past, let us say. But suddenly you feel it's coming back again. There's somebody, he told me, sister, I went for a wedding and I saw this uncle of mine whose house I was staying 20 years ago. And everything came back. What had happened then, how rude he was. Now I'm having sleepless nights. That uncle is old, he's 80 plus and you know, He doesn't even remember what he had spoken at that time, but now he's reliving it. So we are carrying these bombs within us and we don't even know. Right? So the thing is, the question here is that, yes, I want to change. Internally, not just externally, I do want to change. A lot of people come up and say, I have taken this New Year resolution from tomorrow, and the tomorrow has never come till now. From tomorrow, I'm not going to get sensitive and feel bad. From tomorrow, I'm not going to do this. There's tomorrow, 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 and still we are waiting for that tomorrow. Yeah? So what is it? I have very deep intention, deep will to change. I have all the reasons to bring about those changes, but then at the right time, it's not happening. Why do you think what is the reason, would you say? I don't think we are craving for information. What is right? What is wrong? Do you think we don't know? We all know. We all know. Somebody had come up to me and he said, "Sister, you know, sometimes I'm really not sure what is right and wrong. So I tend to make mistakes." I gave him an example. There's a family, husband and wife, and they have a child who's 2-year-old. So they're furnishing that house. It's still not done. The dining room is empty. So they kept a small little chair for the little girl in the corner of that room, and every time she's naughty and she makes a lot of tantrums, they make her go and sit there for 2 minutes. For a 2-year-old, 2 minutes sitting there doing nothing is a big punishment. So she has to go and sit there, time out. She'll sit there and she can come back. One day, her father was sleeping on a couch. So she's playing with some stickers. So the father must be so deep in sleep, she went and started sticking those stickers all over him. On the face, on the hand, everywhere. And he was not at all aware. He just was deep in sleep. When he got up, he saw all these stickers. And then when he's trying to remove them, it's painful. It's bad, very bad gum. I don't know what it was. Lot of pain. So the wife came and helping him, putting water and slowly removing it. And suddenly they realized she's nowhere around. Usually she plays along with them and sits somewhere. She's nowhere. So the mother frantically searching all around in the house, and then they find her sitting in the corner on her own in that little chair. She's taken a time out for herself. So the mother asked her, "Why are you sitting there, beta? What's your problem? Why are you sitting there?" She said, "I gave pain to daddy, so I sit here." If a 2-year-old understands what is right and wrong, no adult has a right to say, "I don't know what is right and wrong. It just happens." पता नहीं, यू नो, मैंने ऐसा क्यों कहा, ऐसा थोड़ी होता है. यू नो इट, यू डिडंट हैव कंट्रोल. या आई एग्री विद दैट. सो द प्रॉब्लम ऑलवेज कम्स एट द पॉइंट वेयर आई लैक कंट्रोल. इट्स नॉट अबाउट लैक ऑफ इन्फॉर्मेशन और नॉलेज. सो टू हैव कंट्रोल ओवर समथिंग आई नीड पावर. यू नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट द काइंड ऑफ पावर यू बिल्ट इन जिम. Now you can build all the muscles you want in the gym, but you can't face situations with that kind of power, right? I know somebody who's a bodybuilder. There was a gym at one point, and somebody advised me, "You should go and walk the treadmill." No, you should walk. So I went there, and I was not at all comfortable. It was very close to the center. It was connected to Nagarjuna. So I went there just to see how's going on, and I see all these youngsters. I've seen them grow. All of them, and they said, "Didi, we have to do a lot of work." I said, "One day also you cannot miss." I said, "We cannot even miss one day." "What do you do?" "In front of the mirror, they'll keep doing this continuously, and they keep on looking at themselves." I said, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "No, we have to do every day." Then I thought in my mind, why are you building so much muscles? You know, health, I don't know if it's connected with health, but what is it? It requires a lot of work, right? So you want to be a bodybuilder, you want to be a model, you want to be, you know, a movie actor or something. What do you want to be? And they would say, "None of that, because we are all working in banks and these fertilizer companies." But the thing is, if anybody sees us, they should get scared of us. No, they cannot, you know, have any trouble. You know, they don't create trouble looking at us. So this is how we build our muscles. In the same context, I was thinking, how about building muscles here? I'm not talking about, there are no muscles in the brain, in the head anyway. But, you know, building my muscles in the sense, my spiritual muscles. So nicely, so wonderfully, that at the right time, the situation won't eat me up. One difficult person won't take my whole mind into it. Sometimes one person can destroy my whole days. Thinking about it. Look, I'll just show you. You have this small little plastic vase here. I'll pick this up, yeah, and I want to place it here. Pick this up and place it here. How many thoughts do I require? Picking it up and putting it there. How many thoughts do I require? Two. One is also pick up and put one thought. Pick it up and put. Now I'm picking it up and I'm thinking, why it's only I who have to do everything? Others are not doing anything. I don't know what people are going to think about me. I don't know what's going to happen. 30 thoughts, one action, power going. You don't need 30 thoughts for one action, right? But we're thinking. Somebody was sharing with me that he was traveling on a plane which has taken off. It's already taken off. And he's sitting next to the person and he's saying, it's going to Mumbai only, no? Why are you so? Yes, of course. I mean, they won't let you in. This is not like a bus or a train. It is really going to... No, I don't know. I'm just asking. He said, no, it's going to Mumbai. And after a while, he turns back and he says, excuse me, if you don't mind, which part of Mumbai will it land? It is there on your ticket. Whatever, the Shivaji, whatever. It will land there. And so, that should be this area. Okay. You're new to Mumbai? No, I live there. You know why? It's not because they don't know. Thinking. Something might go wrong. I'm already thinking that probably something happened in Mumbai. The flight has taken to another direction. I'm feeling it. The clouds are different. So this is what happens. It is a kehte na chinta chita hai. The more I'm thinking and thinking and thinking, I'm losing my strength. And I don't even know. I won't know. There's nobody's going to come and tell me, hey, I feel you losing your strength today. Nobody knows. It's very subtle. And I'm losing it. I may go through the biggest problems in life, but I'm not aware, but I'm losing strength because I'm thinking too much. I happened to meet a builder and during the recession time. And he's going through a lot of problems. He had built 3 apartment buildings, 1 in Bangalore, 2 in Hyderabad, and none of them are being sold. Even rent, nobody is taking it. And a lot of interest from bank, and he's having a hard time. So I met him one day. And then he told me, I'm in such great trouble, sister, I'm so stressed. I said, you should take out some time and you can come and we, relax a bit. He said, sister, I don't have time. I really don't have time, or else I would really love to come and spend some time and learn how to meditate and all that. I said, okay. I met him recently, about 8-9 months ago. He's doing very well. His apartments are sold, he's got all the money back, no problem with the bank, things are going on fine. And it just so happened that I just mentioned, you're so courageous, you're so determined, so you made it happen. You just went through the whole situation. A lot of people are ready to commit suicide with the situation, but you survived. He looked at me and he said, yes sister, I did well, but going through all the situation, I got a gift. I said, gift? What is a gift? BP and sugar. Sometimes we think we are capable. If you're drowning, you're a great swimmer and you're drowning. You just fell out of your boat or I don't know what. And you are swimming. If someone would come to rescue you, would you say, I'm a good swimmer, leave me alone? You said, please, help me. Right? Somehow, internally, we think we are surviving, we are good swimmers, and we are swimming. But you don't know how much energy you still have to go on kicking there. How long can I go on and on and on? Whether we are capable, but we are draining. How do you know you're draining? Can I have the first slide, please? Yeah, the last one? Yes. These are the questions that are listed out for you. I don't know if you can. Can you all see it? It's not very clear? Yes or no? Not clear. Can the light is off anyway? These lights can be off? Yeah, okay. ये बंद कर देना. बोल्ड कर दो. बोल्ड कर दो, बैकग्राउंड व्हाइट कर दो. व्हाइट भी कर सकते. आई कीप रीडिंग आउट टू यू. ओके, द फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज, अभी दिखाई पड़ रहा आपको? इट्स ओके, फाइन. सी नाउ द फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन, डू यू गेट टायर्ड इजिली? Absolutely no work. Maybe it's sitting in the corner doing nothing but tired. It's not physically tired, but do you get irritated with others in smallest of things? There's a couple who had come to the center and she was telling me, Didi, aap inko poochho. Just ask him, what is the question I ask him when he comes home for which he gets really angry? Please ask him what question I ask him. So I said, what question do you ask? And he's a little embarrassed. He's saying, abhi ye sab kyun? No, no, no. She wants to know what question she asks you. And he said, she asked me as soon as I entered the house, how was your day? I get very irritated. It's a very nice question, isn't it? Is it wrong? How was your day is a most simple and beautiful question. Achha tha, in logon ko mile, you know, this happened, that happened, I know. But you don't have the patience, smallest things, lot of irritation. It doesn't require so much irritation, but you do get it. Is there always an inability to cope with the situation? Always feel it's too much, I can't handle it. I'm giving up. Do you think too much about things you can do nothing about? Now you're just sitting here and you're thinking, I wonder what they're going to give for lunch today. I won't let you go, first thing, and it's not yet one. So to think about something you can do nothing about, nothing absolutely, but you keep thinking, why is he like that? He is like that. So I'm going to change. Why is she doing this? She will do that. She's been doing that for a while and she'll keep doing it. But to think about things you have absolutely no control over, you can do nothing about it, but you continuously think. Do you feel you need more rest than usual? I know people who can sleep for 8 hours and get up and say, oh my God, I don't have enough sleep. And not feel fresh at all. Every day, I know that, I know some people, when I go up, youngsters, about, you know, 20 years, 20, 25, I ask them, you know, what is your hobby? And they say, sister, I've got a best hobby, sleeping it seems. Whenever they get time, they sleep. Is there an inability to listen to others' problems and issues? You got to tell about yourself and your ideas and your thoughts. Somebody sharing something, you cut it. Yeah, it's okay, forget it. No, it's okay. I know somebody was telling me that she went and shared with her husband that she's having problems with her boss. He's a terrible boss and he won't let me progress and he's doing a lot of wrong things and everything. And so she was sharing with her husband. And the husband, you know, he said, forget it, you leave the job. You can't work. You need lot of stamina to work in such corporate things. Leave it. She was so upset. She came and told me, I'm more upset with my husband than my boss. Yeah? I don't want an advice. I want someone to listen. I think most percentage of the people around who have problems don't want solutions, really. That is my experience. When people come up and share their stories or, you know, whatever they're going through, they don't want advices. When I keep listening and I'm getting ready to say something, dear sister, I don't have time, I need to go. So the thing is, they all want someone to listen. So if I don't have strength, the people whom I love the most and I care for the most and the people who report to me at work, I can't listen to them. I don't have the patience to. Does your time get wasted in trivial aspects? I know somebody back in Hyderabad who's upset, very, very, very upset with his family members because the food was not hot on one Thursday. I've heard this Thursday so many times. Thursday, the food was not hot. So he's upset. That is not the reason actually, if you see. You're losing strength. When you lose strength, like if your body is losing strength, your immune system comes down, you can catch any disease here. One cough, you have the worst cold. Right? So in the same way, spiritually also, if I'm losing my power, I can catch the most smallest thing with no bad intentions and I'll take it very bad. Two people talking and I think they're talking about me only. I'll start feeling, look, everybody's looking at me. I don't know what they're thinking about me. Nobody's bothered about you. You feel adjusting with others is impossible. You can just give up on it. Do you experience regular headaches, like, you know, sometimes pain here and there? Yeah, but absolutely no physiological reason, but you do feel that pain and you feel uncomfortable. That means you're really, really losing your strength to cope with situations around you. In psychology, the definition for intelligence is an ability to cope with situations effectively. It's not about how many arithmetic problems you will solve. It's about coping with problems effectively. So how much intelligent I am in not spoiling my head and my state of mind and my sleep, I'm not spoiling any of that, and I'm taking care of my own well-being. Right? Because we're just not talking about ourselves, but we're talking about a whole lot of people around us. You see a house on fire. Someone you know is inside that house. Would you go run into that house to rescue him? Let us say you do run. But there are a lot of people who will come and stop you, won't they? They say, don't be foolish. Why are you running inside? And they hold you. But if the fire extinguisher people would come, would anybody stop them? They tell them, please go fast, go fast. But they are also human beings. But why are they allowing them to go and they won't allow me? Tell me. They're equipped. They're equipped to do what? To deal with the situation. And? They're capable to extinguish the fire. See, the capacity is just not in extinguishing the fire. The capacity is protecting themselves through the fire. Most people who want to go and help someone on fire burn themselves. Without their knowing, you know. So the whole technique that they have is, if I help myself, I can help you. This is the call of time. If I do not take out time to empower myself now, I can never lead or help anybody around me. Maybe just my immediate family. I won't be able to. There's a 12-year-old boy who comes to the center. His father was coming down from Singapore after 2 months. And I told him, you know, it's getting to be 8. Your father should be there in a half an hour. Go home. He said, Didi, mujhko nahi jana hai. Why you don't want to go? Your father is coming. I'm sure you know father is coming from abroad. He must be getting a lot of good stuff for him, no? I said, go, go. And he said, I don't. Don't you think he'll get some stuff for you? Yeah, he will get. Then why don't you go? Sister, whenever my father goes abroad and he comes back, he gets gifts. But then as soon as he comes, he starts lectures. Singapore mein, you know, your age boys, you know what they're doing, how they live, what they... The power that you have, you know, if you're able to empower yourself is such, you don't have to speak. It gets to them without you speaking. People understand you without you bothering to explain and, you know, explain yourself. You don't have to. People are able to catch what you're going through without you being very, very specific about it. This is the kind of power we require at this moment of time. That we have that control over what we think. Because if we are able to control from that 30 thoughts which I told you, if you can get it to 2-3 thoughts for that one action, people will start listening to you. If I'm thinking too much, nobody respects us. I was in the airport in Frankfurt, and right opposite to me, there was a family. There was this man with his 2 sons. I could make out there are his sons because they look so much like him. From a distance, I see this lady dragging a luggage, that trolley bag, and I think one of the wheels is just broken, so she's finding it hard to drag it down. So this father who's sitting there, he turned to one of his sons, and then he did this. One nod. That son adjusted himself, got up, walked up all the way to that lady, picked up the suitcase, made her sit down, gave the suitcase back, and she was so much thankful to him. And I was thinking, what's going on? One nod. See, you nod your employee, probably he will listen to a son like that. And he got up. I said, what a fantastic thing. After a while, again he nodded. And I watched. Another son got up, went up to the counter and started inquiring when the flight is going to arrive. And he took the information, he comes back and talks to his father, gets back. He said, how can you actually make your sons, who are like 30 plus or so, to listen to you to that level? He must be thinking very less. Leadership in the world, what people write a lot of books about leadership. Leadership is all about not to think too much. Whether you want to be a leader at home or whether leader at business or work, not think too much. Think, I'm not saying, if you don't think, not to think is also a thought. You can't stop thinking, you have to think. But thinking too much about things you can do nothing about. Going through this list, if you have more than three, you're getting really drained. You scan through it and see if you tick more than three, you understand that you really have to take out time to empower yourself. You know the woodcutter story? You know? I'll repeat it anyway. This man would cut 20 trees in about 3 days. Suddenly, he is able to cut only 3 trees in 3 days. He got panicky, went to a wise man in his village and asked him, what's wrong with him? Why am I losing strength? Why can't I cut 20 trees in 3 days? He said, the wise man said, simple, sharpen your axe. He said, I don't have time for that. You've come all the way from different parts of this country to this place to sharpen your axe. Not to learn how to cut trees. You know it already. You know how to do that. You've come to sharpen the axe. And to sharpen the axe, you have to leave everything. Like you want your mobile to be charged, you have to leave it alone, no? Do you have to? I know some people, I'll put the switch and still keep talking. Leave it alone for some time. Let it get charged. Yeah? So you have to be, you have to leave things aside. And that's exactly what you did. I'm sure if you ask Deepa Ben and some of the sisters here, that they would have given invitations for so many people and you could make it. Right? We use this word, koto me koi. Some among crores and crores and crores of people, just a few would recognize the need to empower themselves, because the ones who will feel that they need to be empowered are the ones who are true leaders, wherever they are in this small little world. Yeah. So, what I'm going to do right now, we'll do a small exercise. Okay? In this exercise, you have your pen and pad and things like that? You have? Yeah. You got your book yesterday, your diary? With a pen? Did you get for all of them? Not yet? Okay. See now, what you're going to do with your book and pen is write down the areas that you think you need to empower yourself a lot. Like for example, if you see relationships, right? Don't write down, I want everyone to cooperate with me. That is not empowerment, that is begging. You write down, in my relationships, I need patience. At work, I need focus. Write down what is it that you need to empower that particular area. Health, discipline, something. Write down. Okay? Go ahead. I'll just give you 5 minutes for that. Okay, we get back. You need some more time? You okay? Okay. Can we have the next slide? This is the background that you're going to keep. Yeah, this work of your areas that you need to work on, keep that as a background, just for your own time to check it and see. Read through these situations. Can someone come up here and read a situation so that everybody can hear? Can anyone? Yeah, please come. Yeah.
Situations. you have great plans for the evening to go out with family and it rains. The rain has upset the evening. Your family is also disappointed about the turn of events. What should we blame? You wanted to buy a property last year. Yeah.
You could hear that? Yeah. So the question is, what should be blamed? Huh? What should be blamed? You had a lovely plan for the evening. You want to go out. And it all got spoiled because of the rain. Whom do you have to blame? Huh? Rain is not in our control. So you can't tell it not to rain. Okay. And? Okay. Okay. Wait and have a good time. Go wherever you want to go. Okay. Enjoy the rain and get drenched. In a normal circumstances, a more normal situation, we have really planned. It's not a casual thing, just go. You've really planned it. And everybody's looking forward to it. Right? And plans change. It's just not about rain, it's just an example. Plans change. Don't they? Somebody in your house, maybe your teenage daughter or your son, somebody comes up and says, I don't feel like. Yeah, they just can tell that they have the mood, they have their whims and fancies, so it's going to change. So what, who is to be blamed? Sometimes, for all you know, you could be blamed. Yeah, like let us say, there is a war here. A group of children would walk in or run in and start playing here and the vase falls down and breaks into pieces. Yeah? So you would tell the kids, you know, is this a place to play? Just get out and don't come here. And you'll really shout at them. Fine, over. The vase is here, you're walking down and it falls down. And you, what would you say? Who kept it here? Yeah? So how much of a responsibility that I can take and I say that it's okay. At the right time. It's such a lovely thought to think that let me go and drench myself in the rain and wade through the water. It's such a lovely thought. But in a practical situation, not to blame requires a lot of strength. Even if my car gets punctured because of me going on or something, I will say, why are you sitting with me? That's why it has happened. It is so easy to blame, isn't it? If this wouldn't have happened, that would have happened. So the more I'm on the blame game here, and I'm not taking control, I'm not on a path to change. Not on a path to empower. The second situation, can someone else read it? Yeah, come Poonam.
Om Shanti. You wanted to buy a property last year and your friend dissuaded you to do so.
Hmm.
Now the property price has increased 3 times more. Is it not natural to regret?
Hmm. Thank you. You got the point? A friend dissuaded you to buy that property when you were ready. And now it's gone up. Now you cannot buy it. So, who is to be blamed now? Don't you, huh? Yourself? It requires strength to blame yourself. Now look. To be able to come to terms with it, even to blame is a bad game. You start blaming yourself, you're going to have so many terrible nights. Can't sleep. I should have done that. If it has happened, they say, if it has happened, it's a right thing which has happened. If it hasn't happened, it was not supposed to happen. Something which has happened is the truth. You get what I'm trying to say? If it has happened, it's the truth. If it has not happened, it is false. That's about it. That's about it. So you can't sit here and think it should have happened. How can you, when somebody is, a drama is going on, let us say, a movie is going on. I know two girls who went for a movie and they troubled me. I don't go watch movies, but they called me, and one of the girls, she called up and said, "Sister, I'm having a hard time." So what's going on? We watch this movie and we come home, my friend keeps on calling me. What is she saying? She keeps on asking the question, why did the hero do that? Why did he do that? You're supposed to just go and watch and enjoy, that's all there is. You don't question it. If the minute you start questioning, you're losing touch with reality. And people who lose touch with reality, in a very funny note, they're in the mental hospitals usually. Because they're not in touch with reality. It's abnormality when you're not accepting reality. The third question. Anybody else would like to read the third one?
Your father has invested in a bogus company and he has refuses to listen to you. As the money is a large amount, should you not worry?
Yes, should you not worry? Do you think you have the right to worry? You will say it's very natural, you have to worry. Your father is not listening to you. These are all the situations I have put in which has really happened to people. I didn't put anything random. People who have shared, I've taken the permission and I've put it there. Okay? So do you think you should worry or not? You don't worry about it, do what? Leave it. So you just let it go. It's very difficult to just let it be. It's very difficult. And see, if you have a father who's very stubborn, you know, he's worrying already is because of stubborn father. You have stubborn situations. Stubborn children. Stubborn employees. Stubborn things that are happening. There's a lot of stubborn things. That is when you start worrying, no? And that worrying actually makes it more stubborn. Chodo to chute, they say, no? If you hold it, it'll hold you. You leave it, it'll leave you. Most times when you leave it, they'll come to you and say, do you think I should do this? The more you're after something and you say, don't do this, I will do it. Because you don't like it, I will do it. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? So, to worry means to hold on. Worry means too many thoughts. We can't invest so many thoughts. Last one. You find the present situation in your business very stressful, and moreover, your partners are not cooperating. After all the work I put in, can't I expect them to change? Can't I expect the partners to change because I put in so much of my effort into it? Should I expect or not? I should not expect. Then what to do then? Change what? The business? Myself? Okay. And how do you change yourself in this situation? Attitude. Okay. Change your attitude. Okay. And? Cope up with. It sounds so pathetic. You've already lost the battle before you begin. Yes. Find the reason for why they're not cooperating. Right. If you make up your mind, this is possible, if you make up your mind that my state of mind is much more important than anything else in the world right now. This is more precious. Yeah? Because if there is a result, there is an outcome by thinking, worrying and go on about it, if I'm going to get somewhere, well that's okay. But I'm losing my strength. I'm losing my will. I'm losing my spirit to go on. I'm losing my health over it. Some people can lose all their health over some business partner, and the business partner is happily eating, drinking and sleeping.
But here is this person thinking about someone who's deceived him for about 20 years ago. Right? So the question here is that, can I afford to invest so much? Because I'm actually losing here. If you're in a liability, can you go invest in something else? Can you? I mean, sensibly, no. So if I'm already draining my energy somewhere, I can't think of investing so much anywhere. You know, there was this Kumar Mangalam Birla's mother, Rajeshri Birla, was here in Gyan Sarovar about quite a few years ago for a hematology conference. And they had a very fixed schedule for her, and there was 1 hour, 1 to 2 in the afternoon, she was supposed to meet an artist in Mount Abu. And so it was planned out, and suddenly we came to know that the artist is not well, and he is hospitalized, and he cannot meet her. So we informed them, and the person who was taking care of the schedule, she said, you know, how is this possible? The whole schedule has changed. We have to do something about it, and this and that. So Yogini Ben, who is our senior sister here, she went up and she apologized to Rajeshri Ben, and she said, I'm sorry that, you know, the schedule has changed for you from 1 to 2. The artist is not there. So she looked at her and to her sister, she said, don't apologize, please. In my life, she said, that I have one principle that I'm trying to stick on to, and that is, nothing is too important than my state of mind. State of mind. Nothing is too important. Everything somehow is taken care and sorts itself out, and you know, it becomes okay after all. Sometimes you see people fighting on the road, you know, for some car and a scooter thing, I don't know what, they'll be fighting, and there'll be some good Samaritan, he'll go and try to, you know, make them okay, but both of them get together and hit him. Most of the things are none of our business. If it's not happening, it's none of my business. If it's happening, it's my business. What is the call of time? What is time trying to tell us now? About 20, 30 years ago, the time was saying something else. But now time is trying to tell you something, and that is, it is not the time to blame. You cannot, because you have very sensitive bodies now. Very sensitive minds. Not only yours, people around also. One comment and they'll keep it in their heart for years together. They never forget. Right? So here we are, very sensitive period we are going through. It is not the time to blame. It is not the time to change others also. Others are not ready to change. You know, there's always one little joke I usually tell at this time. It seems there was a narrow bridge. And then, only one car can pass by. But it just so happened two cars came at the same time on top of the bridge. So one person looked at the other, the one driver looked at the other and said, go back. Because I am in a hurry, so you need to just reverse. That other person, he gestured to him and he said, I don't have time either, you reverse because I need to go. Both of them are gesturing to each other, but none of them would budge. They're just there on top of the bridge. So after some time, one of the drivers, he picked up a newspaper and started reading. Happily. The other one jumped out of his car, started walking up towards him. So he looked at him and he thought, he's coming to negotiate, but I'm going to have my way. I'm not going to reverse. So he comes up to him, knocks him, and he says, once you're through with the newspaper, give it to me. So, the more we are waiting for something to change out there, everything around is waiting for me to change. Right? So it is not the time to change others. You cannot. The only technique that you can change others is to change yourself. Back in Hyderabad, there is a family. They built a huge house in a place called Film City. It's a huge building they built only for their son and the new daughter-in-law. The new daughter-in-law comes from such a background that as soon as she walked into the house, she said, you know, I want my old dry cleaners to take care of my clothes because they are the best. I won't send it to the people that you send it to. They said, okay, koi baat nahi beta,
wage. The mother-in-law has been meditating for about 3.5 years by then, and I know her very well. So her daughter comes to me too, and she told me, I can't take this because she is dominating my mother. So the mother is not bothered. She said, no problem, send to dry cleaners. After some time, she says, the cook back at my house is the best one. And he cooks healthy food. You put too much mirchi and it's so terrible. It's bad for my stomach. So I want him to come and cook for me too because he has time. So the mother-in-law said, okay, whatever makes you comfortable, let him come. So he comes to cook there and they are paying him. And she says, my husband also should eat the same food because he needs to be healthy too. So the son goes up to the mother and says, Mama, I can't eat that food. I like your food. So the mother says, don't tell anybody, not even your wife, that you like my food. I'll keep it in the fridge. You heat it and eat, but don't tell your wife. So the sister-in-law is feeling bad that how come my mother has to adjust to everything when this daughter-in-law is having a good time. After some time, she says, I don't have a private place to meet my friends. My father-in-law is meeting his friends in the sitting in the drawing room. I have no privacy. So they cut the lawn and made a sitting room for her because of the mother-in-law. They cut it. And so there she has a sitting room. She entertains her friends. After some time, she says, this house is not built the way I want it. They built it much before I came. So it's a nuisance for me because to go from the bedroom to the kitchen is taking a long, long distance. So the husband got irritated and said, do you want a bike or a car to go from the bedroom to the kitchen? And she got more wild and lot of fights. And so finally, the parents felt that we will go to the village and stay there. So the in-laws left the house and they go to the village and they have a house and they're staying there now. The daughter is crying. My children cannot meet the grandparents because of this new bahu in the house. So she's having a lot of problem and she told me and she cried. One day, I think about 6 or 7 months later, I see one lady come into the house and then I go up and she walks in and she introduced herself to be the daughter-in-law. I said, oh, she's the one I've been hearing so much about. I said, what's going on? She said, look, I took your number from my sister-in-law, but I don't want anyone to know that I came to meet you for myself. I took the number saying that a friend needs your number. I said, okay, no problem, sit down. I have a problem with my in-laws. With your in-laws? Do they live with you? No, they live in the village. So what is your problem? They keep coming. Twice or thrice a month for health check-up and a wedding. They keep coming. So what if they come? You mind your business, they mind theirs. Well, that is the problem. So what is the problem? Sister, she says, my parents, my in-laws are so nice. They're such wonderful people that I am so scared that I will hurt them again. I'll hurt them with some other thought, some other feeling. I'll hurt them. I'm very scared. Do you think this meditation will help me to change? The more you change your attitude, others will change automatically. If I would call up the mother-in-law and say, Kya Mataji, you have actually adjusted with your daughter-in-law? You have accepted your daughter-in-law? She'll say, when? She doesn't know. When you have strength, you won't know. When you don't have strength, you'll say, Hai, I mean itna kya. You know the difference here? You won't know you're doing it. This is spiritual strength. This is exactly how it works. Because when you are changing, don't think you're changing only for yourself. Automatically it creates ripples. And people are watching you. It is not even the time to expect others to be grateful. See, I'm not being pessimistic, I'm being realistic. Be realistic. Somebody who did some good work for somebody, they should be grateful to you now. Is it possible? Sometimes they'll come and say, I saw you somewhere. You know, you could have done a lot, but they say, I don't know who you are really. I think I saw you somewhere. It is not the time to worry or fret about the future because it's already made. You're going to go into it. You just have to be prepared. You have to prepare yourself. It is time to empower oneself. It is not the time to waste time. How do you waste time? Thinking about the gone time,
waste thoughts, thinking about things you can do nothing about. This is wasting time. It is not the time to waste time. You cannot afford to. And finally, it is time to let God take over, because you can't do it now. We're not giving up, but you're letting Him take over. In the sense, you know, He is the one who can give you the power. Everything has a source. Everything. If somebody is working on the gym, he wants, you know, build up his body. But what about spiritual strength? Who's going to give me that? Where do you think I can get that? There has to be a source, isn't it? When nothing works out, we say, God, please help. No. When everything is working out, I should say, God, you're with me. No. Time, what it has to do, it has to do. But there has to be a preparation here of what I have to do now. What kind of a virtue do you require? I'll tell you. I was in Raipur. They gave me a topic, art of problem solving. I asked everybody there, do you all have problems? And everybody raised hands. There's not even one person, even a youngster raised his hand and said, I also have a problem. So what is your problem? Tension of exam or something, he said. So everyone has problems. Then I put up a list of virtues. And I asked all of them, do you find a solution in this list for your problem? Can you find that list of virtues, if you don't mind? He has it? Okay, he'll show it. In the meantime, when I showed the list of virtues, I asked them, do you find a solution in this virtue? In this whole list of virtues? Do you find a solution? And there was someone, he got up and he said, for my problem, I think the solution is courage. Somebody else got up and he said, for my problem, what I require is patience. If I have patience, there is no problem. And for me, I require more discipline. So for every problem out there, I need a preparation here. There is no preparation here and I want to solve there. Terrible. No patience and I want things to be done. Terrible. I don't know, the work might be done, but I've drained my energy totally here. I've lost everything that I've built myself to. Right? So, here is a list of virtues. Please go through it. Can you all see it? Yeah, now? A little bit? So, for the problem, whatever problems that you have, what is that virtue that you require from here? Would be the solution for you. Everything takes time to sort out. But I can't waste time. I can't afford to. Thinking about it, because it gets me nowhere. So what is it that I require then? Can some of you tell me? You don't have to tell me the problem, but you can tell me. Courage? You require courage? Okay. Patience? Discipline? Tolerance? Huh? Cooperation? Yes, all are required. All are required. No, yeah. We can, yeah. Any more? Confidence. Determination. Tolerance. Tirelessness. Fantastic. Cheerfulness. Respect. What is that? Passion. Okay. Fearlessness. Self-confidence. Positivity? Adjustment? Okay. These are all beautiful virtues which are listed out. Very beautiful. And none of you can say that you don't have them. You recognize all of them. You can even tell me a story of where you've used these. Have you not? If I just ask you for this moment of time, you don't have to tell me, but think a moment where you've used courage. You've all done that? You've used courage in your life? You have. You all have. Whatever age you might be in, whatever situation you might be in, you've used all of them. But the thing is, they're not charged. We need charging, no? 3,000 mobile or 30,000 mobile? You have to charge it. Would you say 30,000 mobile, sister, we don't need to charge it? 30,000 mobile discharges faster. You're very capable. You're taking care of your family, you're taking care of your business, you're taking care of your work, you're taking care of your friends. Fantastic, congratulations. But then, they don't come at the right time. Patience, right time, no. After situation is gone, oh, I need to have been little patient, I should have not said it. So that means things work at the right time, the right way, when I am empowered, when I have been charged. And that is when, like, you know, if this whole room is dark and you walk in and I'll tell you, can you tell me what all is there in this room? You would say, I don't know, sister. I think there's nothing there. But there are a whole lot of chairs, there's a whole stage here and a picture of Baba. You have everything in this hall, but you can't see anything. Awareness is like that. The minute you're aware, it's like going from darkness to light. You start seeing, oh my God, I have so many things. I have so much. And that is when you start empowering yourself. I was in America, and then we had this couple who organized a lecture for a whole lot of couples who were their friends. It was in a house. So I was sitting there, and they gave me some topic on relationships. And before the lecture would begin, they had something called potluck. Everybody gets their own food and they all sit together and eat, something like that. So this one lady was told to get fruit punch, it seems. It's all fruit juices mixed, some fruit punch. And she seems to have made a good job of it. It looked very nice. And she was giving everyone those glasses and they're all drinking. But the minute they would drink, I could see their face, you know, they didn't like it. So they would pour it down the sink or they put it in a trash can, and nobody's really enjoying that, and you could make out. So she kept going asking everybody, or thoda mango juice dalo kya, you know, should I put this, should I put that, should I put more ice? She kept asking everybody. They said, no, I mean, that is unrepairable kind of a thing. So you could make out her face is just dropped, totally dropped, and she kept on talking and saying, I have bought the same kind of things from Walmart. I bought this, I bought that, pata nahi kya hua and all that. And then she sat under the window and I could see her face crestfallen, like she's not with the whole situation there. She's not seeing anybody, but she's worrying why it happens only to me. I could make that out in her face. That, you know, I'm so unlucky and nobody appreciates and all that. In the midst of that, her son, maybe a 13-year-old, you know, playing outside, he runs in with a glass, empty glass, walks up to his mother and says, Mama, can I have a refill? And she says, Maa rakha le lo. Take it there. And I'm thinking, the most important person in your life loves what you made. And he is the one who's going to drink all your life, whatever you make. He's going to drink. But you are here specifically investing so much energy on people whom you're going to meet once a month. And probably after some time, never. You don't know. So you're not able to have that joy of this 1 feet here. 1 feet to hai na? I'm standing on 1 feet ground here. Above you all. Yeah? You're all happily sitting there. I'm standing. Since I don't know how much time, I don't know. And I walked all the way from here, and he came and walked. Since the time I've come, you're all sitting happily. And I come up and I climb 2 steps up so that I can have a better view of all of you. But you all don't have that kind of view because you did not make that effort. You sat there. So should I not enjoy this? That I have 1 feet up and I'm here at this point. Should I not enjoy this? Should I not? If I don't enjoy this 1 feet up, rest assured, I will not enjoy 6 feet up also. I will not. That's guaranteed. This is a pathway. So, to understand the virtue that I am here, and what is it, the virtue that I can experience at this point of time? I'm connecting to people. I have so much love. I have love for the knowledge that I'm giving. There's so many things that I can enjoy. But I can just sit here and think, oh, the person right there is yawning when I'm speaking. What is it that you want to take with you? Is the question. Can you select the virtue that defines you? You have all of them, but there is one which is very predominant and very strong in you. Select that, huh? From this list. Mercy, yes. Self-confidence. Determination. Huh? Contentment. Humility. Huh? Discipline. Accuracy. Yeah? Okay, now, I can't hear all of you, so we'll do an exercise. Turn to the person next to you. Yeah, you must be sitting next to a person you already know, I'm sure. Most of you. Yeah? Look at the person next to you and smile. Can you do that? Smile nicely, not an artificial one. Okay, fine. Now, once you're ready with the smile, now you're going to meet this person next to you once again. Like you're meeting this person once again, the sense, and say, you're not going to, because you have a name which doesn't really define you. If somebody's name is Shanti and they don't experience peace in their life, what has that name got to do with them? Nothing, right? So this is your name. So turn to the person next to you and say, hello, I am Mercy. And the other person would say, nice to meet you, Mercy. I am self-confidence. Oh, nice to meet you, self-confidence. Nice to meet you, Mercy. Can you do that? Don't say, I have mercy. No, no, no. You have a job. You have relationships in which you use it because this is who you are. This is you. This is what you are. This is what people remember you for. This is the self. This is the spirit. This is the soul that you are. So I would want you to reintroduce yourself to the person next to you. Go ahead. Enjoy yourself. Everybody should meet somebody. Yeah, it shouldn't be like, you know, you just sit and say, okay, no problem, you know, no. Someone has to know who you truly are, no? That you've lived by all your life. You have to acknowledge it. You've all done it? Yeah, you've done it? Oh, fantastic. Did you like it? Huh? Do you get a good feeling? And you truly believe that is who you truly are? And the more you are stabilizing yourself in this awareness that you are this, the more open you are for God to come and work on you. God is not a Kirana store. He's a supermarket. You don't sit in your corner and beg, hey Bhagwan, mujhe ye do. It doesn't work like that with him. It does not. The more you increase your self-respect, more ready he is to hold on to you. That's how it works. Because his energy is very high. So I should come to little bit high, little bit. If I'm totally down there, it's very difficult for him to reach out. That's the problem with him. So that's exactly why God has brought you here in this environment so that it becomes easier for you in this environment to stabilize yourself in the consciousness of who you truly are. Devoid of everything that people think about you or all that must have happened in the past, however you are, he knows truly who you are. Like an architect, he goes to a ground with brick and stones, but he will see a building, no? Won't he? The whole blueprint is there. So he would go every day with that high spirit to build. He'll always go there. If you send me there, I'll say, yeah, koi hai nahi meditation seekhne wale, chalo yahan se. There's no purpose there. But for him, he will go brick and stone every day. So what God sees in us is the spark. All that is surrounding us is not very important for him. He sees the spark. He sees that completeness inside. And so the moment I realize I am that, and not what all has happened and what I have done, that is irrelevant for him. The minute I come to know that truly I am that, he is ready to get in touch with you. Right? So we, the topic here being God's power. The next session will be on God's power. But for him to work on you, it's very, very simple. You know, his plans are very simple. I'll tell you. There was someone in America who was building like an empire of his own, and it broke down suddenly. The reason being, he went and supported a group who wanted all the money which is coming to be taken to education and not to defense. He supported that particular, whatever you call it, vote or something. So the politicians and everybody there went against him because they wanted the money to go into defense, but it went to education. So they made it very difficult for him to move on in his business. So he had to get so many signatures from so many senators that he was totally tired of it. And he came to a point where he felt he's losing all his business now. So somebody went up and invited him for value-based business program that we had in London, and he said, I'm sorry, this weekend I have to get one signature from a senator which he's refusing to meet me and I don't know where he is, I can't get through. So I'm sorry, I can't make it to London. So when on Friday evening, you know, the program started in our center in London, on Saturday afternoon he was there. So the person who was organizing the event, he went up to him and he said, oh, how did you make it? Did you get a signature from the senator? He said, look, I sat down and started listening to my heart more than my head today. And I told myself, what I believe in is value-based business. I believe in that. And I want to be there when such a thing is happening any part of the world. And I came running. I've left that aside because it's a weekend now and whatever has to happen will happen. So because I tried for 1 month. So when the conversation was going on, and the person said, you know, somebody came up, the elderly person, he came and patted him, and he said, you know, George, you know, God is with you. Because you're with values, God is with you. He said, yeah, I know that. And somebody, one lady was, you know, having a tea, and she comes up and she says, oh, you're from America too. Oh yeah, I'm also from America. Okay, so what is this whole problem going on? So he said, there's a senator, Mr. So-and-so, he has to sign it, and he's not been able to do that for me for such a long time. Who is the senator? So he mentions so-and-so senator, his name. And so she says, I am his secretary. Give me the paper. And he sent it. Sometimes you have to understand God's plan. Your plan is not so great, with my apologies. Not really very really great. You have to move in the direction that you want him to move. The other day, somebody sent me a message, why do, you know, some people attract a lot of bad luck? If it is not in God's plan, that is what's going to happen. The minute I came to Brahma Kumaris, there was an astrologer who came home. I wasn't surrendered then. I was not staying in the center then. So the astrologer, I don't know, my mother was not too much into it, but the astrologer was boasting about himself that he has seen so many people and their future and all that. My mother was very curious. So she said, why didn't you see my daughter's hand? So he saw it and he said, oh my God, I don't understand anything in her hand. I said, what? He said, I don't know. There's a lot of confusion. I don't understand. So I told him, you know, with a lot of humility, I told him, you won't understand because it's under construction. And God is planning it. Because I refuse to plan it anymore. I don't want to. Because the more the plans I use, it gets in a different direction altogether. Not in tune with what I really want to end up with. Yeah, I remember just before I surrendered, I think I went to Bangalore to write my exam for NIMHANS. It's a National Institute for Mental Health. It's a MPhil program for clinical psychology. I went all the way feeling very happy that I'm going to get through. And I was so happy that my name was in the list for the written. I got through. It was a tough exam, so I was very happy. And the only thing I have to do was to go and attend the interview for the person interview, and you got your seat for MPhil. And I called up my father, I called up my professor, and I said, I got through, I'm so happy. And now, and then somebody who was sitting next to me, she asked me, why is it they want to be a clinical psychologist? She was much older than me, and after a lot of years, she's getting into this course. So I said, look, I want to really be there for people, and I want to, you know, I know I have the capacity to help. I don't know what all I said at that time, I don't remember, but I said something in those lines. So suddenly this one person walked up to me and he said, are you Radhika? I said, yes, I am. From Hyderabad, yes, I am. So I was getting ready to go for the interview and he says, you're not allowed. I said, what? Why am I not allowed? He said, the thing is, you don't have your MA results yet. I said, look, for Usmani University, it takes time. It will come in 1 month. He said, try next year. Because we need your mark sheet. I said, if you see my first year, I have done well. How can I fail my second year? He said, I don't get into those explanations. We have laws here. We have principles that we follow. You cannot get into this course. Please go back. Try again next year. I came out, called up, you know what parents would say. My father would say, go and meet the professor there. Go and meet this one. You know, and everybody I was talking about, everybody's giving me different advices. And I sat there alone in the garden seat and thinking. And I remember my friends had gone because they thought it was going to take time. They were not around. And I started talking to God. Very seriously. A very, very serious conversation. And the question was, what's going on? You know, this is hard work. I've put in hard work into this and I've got a seat. It's not like, you know, I'm planning to get into something which I don't want. I mean, I didn't work hard for. And suddenly I felt there was a screen in front of me. It's just an image. It's not like I had a sakshatkar or something, but an image in my mind, a screen and a stage behind it. And I'm thinking, why can't the screen open? Why can't the screen open? And then I felt God is telling me, the stage is not ready yet. Wait and see. Even if I wait to open the screen, you won't see what is behind it because there's nothing happening yet. Right? Wait and see. And I have waited to see that His plan is much, much more beautiful than mine. And I live to say this in front of you all. Thank you for listening to me. We have a break now. Thank you so much.
Hey.